Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz here with me. It's been a while, but this is going to be an all football episode, and it's going to be driven entirely by questions submitted by listeners. So should be a fun one. Got a decent mix of different questions, and as we start to get brush the dust off and get back into the 2022 season preview, I figured a fan listener mailbag would a good way to kind of get things started, whet that appetite, and then we'll start doing these a little bit more regularly. So all listener questions, and just to get started, the first two, we're going to kind of lump them together a little bit about the quarterback position. This one question comes from Dom DeLuca, who says, do you envision the offense being more pass heavy without a power back like Haskins? And then the second one comes from Go Blue X Hook'em, who says, what's a decent expectation for Michigan to expect from the quarterback position? So Steve, I figure these are kind of similar. Michigan does have a pretty good run game, or lines up to expect to have a good run game in Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards, but they return pretty much every receiver from last season. Ronnie Bell is healthy. We've talked plenty about the freshman wide receivers as well. And then, of course, there's still a battle to be won by, you know, either Cade McNamara or J.J. McCarthy. Starting with the Haskins angle of the question, will Michigan be more pass-heavy this season? And depending on that answer, what's a ballpark numerical expectation that fans could fairly set, maybe an over-under type of number for this season from the passing game?
Like an over-under yardage-wise?
Sure.
Boy, I don't know, more than last year, because my answer would be I would expect a more pass-happy offense. One of the big reasons why is both of the running backs are really big assets in the passing game themselves.
Yep.
Right. So I would fully expect Michigan, because, yeah, it's like you say Michigan returns everybody. It's really they almost like add Ronnie Bell, because he was pretty much gone the whole season last year.
Yeah, he was. He had one catch. Yeah.
Right. So you're adding Ronnie Bell. You're adding Darius Clemens, who looks like he's college ready right away. Andrell Anthony is a guy that I've been super high on as kind of taking a big leap. Cornelius Johnson, to me, one of the most underrated players on the roster. And then Roman Wilson may have been Michigan's best receiver down the final stretch last year. And then that doesn't even count Eric All, who could be is going to be an all conference player. And Luke Schoonmaker, again, another guy who really came on late and looks really comfortable, as both a blocker and a receiver now. So adding the fact that you would expect Michigan to take a step forward at quarterback, regardless of who wins, right? I mean, J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, they're both back and have another year. Yeah.
It's a process, you know. Yeah, they won the Big Ten championship last year with Cade McNamara at quarterback. That doesn't mean that Cade McNamara is maxed out or has reached his peak necessarily. So whoever wins that job, you got to think Michigan will probably get even better quarterback play this season than they did last season. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a situation where you play to your strengths, and Michigan, you know, they doesn't mean they're not going to be able to run the ball effectively this year. They should be able to. I mean, they return pretty much everybody up front. They might actually be a better unit this year. We'll see how whoever wins the right tackle job does for Andrew Stuber, but Olu is in at center, probably going to be an improvement over Andrew Vastardis, and then everybody else is back. So, you know, they should be able to run the ball effectively, but yeah, just because they have such a wide variety of guys. I didn't even mention AJ Henning as a guy, you know, AJ Henning was maybe one of the most targeted players in the spring game, in the receiving game. So yeah, just a true plethora, you know, some people overuse that word. It's a true plethora of weapons that Michigan can kind of throw at you in the passing game. So I would expect not a much more. I mean, they still have that identity. I think they like to run the football. And again, Donovan Edwards, as great as he looked as a receiver, also, you know, is another guy primed to kind of take another step in his ability to run the football. So more pass heavy this year than last, but not at the sacrifice of the kind of identity I think Michigan likes offensively under Harbaugh.
Yeah, I think you outlined there's almost too many pass catching options. I'll be honest. I'm very surprised they didn't lose a receiver or a tight end to the transfer portal this spring. That's not to say that someone should have left or anything, but in today's college football, I mean, you have 11 scholarship receivers and what, 7 scholarship tight ends. You just assume that someone's going to feel like they're, you know, if they're the third string guy or whatever, like someone's going to feel like they can go elsewhere. And so that's to Michigan's benefit though, because yeah, they are extremely deep at both positions. I mean, you know, it's incredible that one of Ronnie Bell, Cornelius Johnson, Roman Wilson, or Andrell Anthony is going to have to be a second stringer. And you could argue, you know, someone like a Darius Clemens might be on the third string at receiver. And so it's, you know, there's a lot of excitement about some of the young tight ends, but they already have two that are pretty much every snap players in terms of their ability to block and you make plays in the passing game. So I think it'll be, I almost wonder if they're going to pass more just to try to keep everybody happy. I don't think that's always your game plan. Obviously, when you're playing the best team, you try to win the game. But if you're up by 15, this is something I'm curious about, because Jim Harbaugh, typically when Michigan has a lead, he likes to run the football. I think back to that 2016 team. I don't think that was an especially great rushing team, but they had so many rushing yards because they were just had these comically big leads in every game. And then I think last year was another good example. It seemed like, granted, Hassan Haskins made that a very enticing option, but you know, it seemed like every time they had a lead, they were very run heavy. I kind of think that might change this year. I don't know that it will, but I think because they have so many different receivers that not just to keep them from transferring, but also to help them develop, because these, we just listed a lot of guys who could end up being drafted, and they're not going to get drafted if you don't throw them the ball, and they're not going to be the best version of themselves if they're not getting game reps. You know, if you want them against Ohio State, you need them to have reps against Colorado State. I think they will be more pass happy now yardage wise, because I expect them to win a lot of games convincingly, more so than even last season. I'm not sure that they're going to throw for like 4,000 yards or anything like that. Plus, they are, unless they make the playoff or the Big Ten championship game, they are projected to play one fewer game this year. So yardage wise, I mean, my ballpark would be like 3,400 yards passing, maybe 35. I think that'd be a Michigan record. But also, it's the modern era of college football. The fact that Michigan hasn't thrown for 3,500 yards in a year is more surprising than it would be for it to happen this year. So I think that I think they are going to be more pass happy without Haskins. I also have to think red zone, third down, you'd especially see a little bit more. Maybe it's a screen pass to Corum, or maybe it's a short pass to Eric All, instead of counting on someone who is so consistent at moving the ball forward in those short down or short yardage situations. Part of me thinks that they're still going to be a ground and pound team, because you know that the offensive line, this is an offensive line built to dominate the run game. Watching what I've been able to watch from Olu Oluwatimi, knowing what I know about Zach Zinter and Trevor Keegan, even Ryan Hayes, I know he's not like, weight wise, I don't think anyone's like, oh, he's definitely a run blocking, but man, I love the way he blocks in the run game, the way he's able to create those holes and everything. So I think they could get away with being run heavy again, but yeah, I think with just so many receivers, so many tight ends, and not just a bunch of underclassmen, there's veterans, across the board. They have, years and years of experience. So I think they're going to have players who are ready to make plays. I think Michigan is embarrassment of riches is maybe that's a stretch, but as you said, a plethora. I mean, it just seems like they have so many guys with measurable talent or proof on the field that are ready to produce. So I do think they'll be a little bit more pass happy. Next question. This one comes from Phil, but not Martelli. So Phil asked, after watching Hutchinson skyrocket up the draft board, I've been thinking about future Wolverines in the draft. And he challenges us to call our shot. Who on the current roster eventually gets drafted highest? What year round pick do you project? So Steve, if you don't want to do 2023, that's fine. I don't like to think 2 years ahead of time, but who on the current team do you think will be drafted the highest?
I'm going to say it eventually ends up being Will Johnson.
Shocking.
Well, so here's my reasoning. I don't want to spoil your picks, but there's a cornerback seems to be a little bit more of a premium in the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was to say maybe Blake Corum and or Donovan Edwards were like maybe the most talented guys on Michigan's roster, running backs aren't being drafted as high as they used to be.
Yep.
So I mean, that's kind of the angle I'm going with here. And I think the ceiling for Will Johnson is really, really high. Should be a shutdown corner for Michigan for at least a couple seasons. You know, I think is a guy that'll do enough to impress and get his way in the first half of the first round.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's extremely talented. He was a five-star recruit for a reason. And then I think the one thing with him is he'll get a lot of exposure. I don't think it's out of the question that he gets drafted or it's starting in year one for Michigan. So that's maybe it's a steep comparison this early, but like a Derek Stingley type. I mean, he was able to scouts knew his name across the board before he was even halfway done with his freshman year. And that does help you get drafted. I mean, the more you're known, the more likely you are to be picked. So I think that's probably in terms of the multi-year, that's probably the correct answer. I think another one that intrigues me would be like a Junior Colson. And then, I mean, you talk about positional premiums. If JJ McCarthy emerges as a top five quarterback draft prospect, you know, the 2023 season, have to think that would come in the top 40 picks. So certainly there's a couple. I think 2024 and 2025 will be interesting ones. Sticking to 2023, it's really just an interesting debate, and it comes down to kind of who you think is going to blossom. I think the highest floor draft pick among Michigan's upperclassmen would be Oluwatimi. He got day three draft grades last year, and this year I think he'll be able to show it against more Big Ten opponents than ACC opponents. I think he'll have Michigan coaches have influence on NFL coaches, hence the Wolverines draft success over the years. Mike Dana maybe would be like a more polished, proven and talented Mike Dana in terms of being able to rise up draft boards because of the exposure and the experience he'd be able to get at Michigan. But in terms of just kind of gut feeling, you bring up a good point about running backs. I kind of think the way Blake Corum can, you know, the burst he has, the explosiveness he has, I think he's a willing blocker. I think that's, you know, the shorter backs, I think that's often a weakness. You know, he's strong. He's pound for pound. Michigan players have said he's the strongest guy on the team. And that was last season when they had some pretty strong dude, you know, like a Hassan Haskins on the team. So and plus he can catch passes. You know, he's not limited to one role. So I kind of think Corum is going to end up climbing into the top 100 of the draft. I don't know if he'll be a first rounder running backs. You have to be all that in a bag of chips to be drafted in the first round at running back these days, but top 100, I think he can. And then three players I'm intrigued by who I think could, you know, with a strong second season, I guess, as in the roles that they're in, could climb up the boards. Mazi Smith, DJ Turner, and Ryan Hayes. Those are three names that I don't think they're top 100 picks right now if the draft were tomorrow. But I think if they can have another strong all-conference type of season, I think that that potential is there. Also intrigued by Trevor Keegan and Zach Zinter. I think both of them, they weren't really thinking about the draft last year, and Zinter was too young anyways. But, you know, if they produce on the offensive line yet again, I think, you know, NFL scouts will start to look and say, hey, these guys have blocked some pretty good, you know, defensive linemen in the Big Ten and have the requisite size and athleticism and power. So those are kind of the ones I'm thinking of. I think Olu would be the, if I'm gambling, that would be the highest one. But if I'm going off my gut or gambling less, I kind of think Blake Corum has what it takes to rise up the ranks. Cornelius Johnson too. I guess, you know, I think the thing with him will be, you know, is there a next step? Because he had a very good season last year, both as a pass catcher and a blocker. But I don't know that he had a draft, like, scouts are drooling over him kind of season, just because there's so many receivers nowadays. Feels like there's like 20 receivers taken in the first five rounds these days. All right, we're gonna hit a break on the other side. Got a couple more questions, including an over-under point total for the month of September, position groups we think are going to take a step forward, and stock buying or stock advice on some of the rising players on Michigan's roster. You're listening to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, and we're back. Thanks for waiting. So quick fun one before we get to those last two questions. MC asks, how many points does Michigan score in the month of September? Or they will set the over-under at 200. So, Steve, they play Colorado State. They play Hawaii. They play Maryland. And I can't remember the third non-conference opponent that they play. UConn. But it's the first time that they've played no Power 5 team in non-conference since the early 70s. And certainly that feels like it's designed knowing that the Big Ten plays nine conference games and knowing that the college football playoff really, I mean, I think they've ultimately gotten the field right, but you really only get one loss if you want to have a chance at making the college football playoff. And so easier non-conference schedule, and then opening against Maryland, who I think Maryland can be a good offensive team, but I don't think that they're going to be a particularly good defensive team. So Steve, I think I'm going to take the over on the 200. It's a really high number for just four games, but how about you? Where do you sit on this? I mean, it's a big opportunity for Michigan to make a statement offensively. You know, Sherrone Moore, Matt Weiss, they're trying to prove themselves as play callers. We mentioned all the different pass catching options. You know, this is an opportunity for them to get stuff on film, to get to get that game experience. And then they're also presumably going to run the ball because they're leading a lot. So part of it will depend on how many points Michigan wants to score. But I think that this is an opportunity for Michigan to really just put up some crazy offensive numbers. So I'm actually going to take the over on that over-under of 200. How about you?
I'll take the over as well. I think, you know, things have changed a little bit where I think you want to come out and just create an impressive perception for early season, like rankings, and to position yourself. You know what I mean? I kind of think
absolutely.
There's really, to me, there's not a lot of incentive anymore to take the foot off the gas. The only reason would be to save your best players from maybe a dumb injury at the end of a game or something like that. But even guys that won't be starting for Michigan, there's enough talent there where they could probably keep scoring points against these teams, even after maybe their tip top guys have hit the bench for the game. So I'm going to say over. UConn's the other team. It's Colorado State.
They're the worst one. Yeah, they're
Colorado State, Hawaii, UConn, and then Maryland are their first four games, all at home. Yeah. You would expect them to be massive favorites in all four of those games. And if any of those games were close, I think it'd be a pretty significant surprise. So, I'm going to say over for sure, just because, like I said, I think I actually, you know, what really makes me feel more comfortable about that is Michigan scoring that last touchdown against Iowa in the Big Ten championship game. You know, they had Harbaugh on camera saying, hey, we have a shot at number one.
Yeah.
Right.
Like he understands the perception side.
Yes. Like it wasn't so much, it was not at all to stick it to Iowa. It was, hey, maybe another touchdown will look better. Something just appear better. Let's score and make it look even more lopsided. That'd be the reason why, again, none of these teams are really supposed to present any kind of challenge for Michigan, but just from a perception standpoint, you want to get yourself as high as you possibly can. So that if you do stumble along the way, you can almost afford that stumble. You know, you're not sitting at like 10 when you lose your first game and fall down to 19 or 20. Instead, you're sitting at like number three, you fall down to like 9. And, you know, you give yourself plenty of time in the schedule to move your way back up, depending on when you lose. But that'd be my thing. So I think I'll take over as well.
Yeah, the only argument I really have for the under is do they try to keep, because the offense will look different. I think a lot of it's going to look the same. I don't think it's a major shift or concern that you know, they hired two internal people. But with Iowa and Penn State and Michigan State all looming in October, do they try to keep some plays under wraps? But I think that made more sense a few years ago. I think Michigan has too many talented skill players. And I do think the perception, because, you know, how many times when we're watching these college football playoff ranking updates or whatever, and whoever the commissioner is out there talking about what stands out about each team, how many times is top 10 offense or scoring margin or, you know, just they're number one in the country in scoring margin. Oh, they're the number five offense in the country and the number eight defense. Like these things, they shouldn't matter. It should. I mean, it ultimately is going to come down to, does Michigan beat the good teams on its schedule? But as you said, I think you can create a perception. Probably doesn't hurt, you know, in terms of the fan perception and the recruiting perception either. If you're putting up 55 points a game with new offensive court or first year play callers and offensive coordinators. So, you know, that there's a lot of incentive, I think, to running up the score. And honestly, they should. Michigan, we can call it like it is. They this is a they chickened out of a tougher non-conference schedule. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but you might as well make the most of it. You know, run up the score, be a top 10 offense for the first time in like 20 years. Have fun with it. I mean, the players want to score touchdowns. You know, call a game plan that produces that. All right, next question. This one comes from Mamba, Michigan Mamba, who says, which position group do you expect to improve the most from last season, one on each side of the ball? And so, you know, there's certainly some position groups we don't expect to improve. I think defensive edge would be the big one. And I think safety is another one I think they'll be fine at safety, but they are losing two starters from that position group. But a lot of position groups, I think the arrow is actually pointing up almost everywhere else. And so, Steve, I'll let you get started. Well, we'll start with the offensive side of the ball. Which position group do you expect to improve the most? I think the more I think about it, the more I think maybe not running back, but every other position group should be better than last season. Which one is the arrow pointing the highest on the offensive side of the ball?
That's tough. Like you said, I think they should be. It's weird. It would be. I don't know if I could say offensive line because they literally won the award for top offensive line last year. I might say quarterback. Yeah, I just think whoever comes out of that battle is going to be primed to have a really big season statistically. You know, if McNamara can hold McCarthy off, I think that's going to say a lot about, you know, maybe some improvements and strides that he's made. And again, we talked earlier about, I think Michigan, just because they're so talented at the skill spots, I think are going to throw the football more. So I think by default, whoever wins that job is going to put up some really good statistics. So I'll go with quarterback. Like you said, I think another one though would be tight end. I mean, a whole season of Luke Schoonmaker, what we saw the last two, even the way Eric All kind of came on too in the second half of the year. I mean, he was more consistent throughout, but both of those guys really came a long way in the latter half of the year. And I think, I don't know, Harbaugh would say maybe built up some calluses, right? I mean, I think that's one of the phrases he likes to use.
Yep.
I think a full season of those two guys, I mean, they should be one of the better 1-2 combos in the country at the tight end position. And that goes without talking about guys like Matthew Hibner. Colston Loveland's had a ton of hype as a true freshman. We know they like to travel four or five guys. So, you know, it's not just a position that's top heavy. Like, they should have some solid depth there. This will be Hibner's third year. So interested to see where that goes. But yeah, quarterback, tight end are kind of the two spots I think of.
Yeah, I think the tight end one is interesting because, yeah, I think by the end of the season, they were really good, but I don't think that they necessarily started, you know, the tight end position started on a roll last season. So in terms of aggregate, like maybe statistical improvements, I think that could be the win. I'm going to go with wide receiver. This feels like a very, very good wide receiver room. And I think they were pretty good last season. You know, pretty much everyone had, you know, a breakout game, at least one. Or, you know, major play in a key moment. But yeah, now I think they're starting to finally shift toward top 15, top 10 in the country territory in terms of their wide receiver room. And so I don't think they hold a candle to like an Ohio State, but I think that in that second tier of wide receivers in the country, I think this is a group where I think the arrow is pointing straight up. The way Roman Wilson finished the season and honestly played through an injury in a lot of ways. Cornelius Johnson continues to produce, adding Ronnie Bell. You and I are both very much on the Andrell Anthony hype train. AJ Henning isn't going anywhere. Darius Clemens, I'm sure I just left out somebody. So, you know, it's impressive.
Mike Sainer still.
Yes. Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's crazy that like a senior and potential team captain gets left out in that in 2-year starter, I think. So yeah, it's a really it's a really deep group, but I do think that there is a lot of reason for optimism. It's not like they just have a bunch of guys hanging around. Like these are, there are legitimate, there's legitimate speed. There's legitimate size. You know, I think there's true playmaking ability. And with the exception of Clemens, all of them got a lot of experience under their belt. You know, they learned a lot last season. They went through the rigors, they got a year better. I mean, not every player gets better year after year, but most of them do in college football. I mean, it's just part of the game. And especially at the receiver position, feels like upperclassmen, with the exception of the true tip top recruits, upperclassmen are where receivers really, really emerge. So I think the arrow's pointing really high there. I don't know where I would rank the group last season, but I think I'm much more confident that they're a top 15 receiver room in the country this year than I was last year. And as you kind of mentioned, it's almost like they're adding, well, they are adding to the receiver room, but it's almost like they add Ronnie Bell, they add Darius Clemens to what it was last season. Defensive side of the ball, I think there's actually a couple different directions one could go. So which position group is the arrow pointing up the most for you on the defensive side of the ball, Steve?
I'm going to say corner. Already talked about Will Johnson. I think Jamon Green is due for a bounce back. DJ Turner came on as a shutdown guy near the end of the year. I think they have some guys to work with there. I almost said linebacker, but I'm just still a little leery about Michigan's depth at linebacker. You know, we still haven't, we don't know much about what guys like Jaden Hood, Tyler McLaurin have provided at that position. I mean, you know, we expect Junior Colson to take a step forward.
And with linebacker, we did not hear a ton of the such and such is really breaking out this spring. Like I didn't quite hear as much of that as I would have expected.
Right. You know, Jimmy Rolder didn't enroll until this month. You know, he wasn't an early enrollee. That could have been a guy that maybe could have gotten some PT. I mean, maybe he still could, but you know, early enrollee gives you a better opportunity. So I'm going to go with corner just because I think that ceiling is higher. I think it is. And I think it's driven by, Mike Sainer still again. Look like he belonged at that position as well. So, you know, you talk about your best incoming recruit, a guy who emerged as sort of a shutdown, like number one type corner, DJ Turner, and a guy, like I said, I think the coaches believe is going to bounce back in Jamon Green. Because I remember recording pods after the forgettable 2020 season and saying that we thought Jamon Green might have been Michigan's best defensive player down the final stretch of that year. You know, so he's had some very positive moments and he was still solid last year, but I don't think he played as well as he did the year before. I think they expect more of the 2020 Jamon Green, which I think would be a big boost for a position that quietly always just seems to be kind of strong anyway. But I do think there's a little bit of a higher ceiling there for them, you know, this season.
The only reason for pause is one, I guess it's not a given that Jamon Green will necessarily bounce back, but I think I'm with you. I kind of think he will in a lot of ways. And then we don't know exactly what Will Johnson looks like as a corner, you know, facing. I mean, even Maryland will provide a test for that cornerback room with the way that they're able to throw the ball. So I'm going to go with defensive tackle. I know, you know, they lost Christopher Hinton. I know fans were distressed about that, but I think this is a really talented position group. I can't remember where I put them in my Big Ten or my position group power rankings in April, but they'd be pretty high up there actually for me right now. I'm very sold on Mazi Smith. You know, we talk about hearing about different players stepping up in the spring, not necessarily a guarantee that they do in the fall, but they don't talk about every player. Mazi Smith, I mean, he's getting he's a all Big Ten type of player talk. And then I believe, you know, sometimes Steve, you're the conductor on, you know, the hype train for some of these rising players. I believe I'm the conductor of the Chris Jenkins hype train, at least in our neck of the woods. You know, as soon as Hinton left, I, you know, people were like talking about all the different transfers. I was like, I think Jenkins is going to start over any transfer that they could land. Pretty sold on him.
Are you for real with that? I feel like I was like, I've been hyping up Chris Jenkins for like 2 years.
Well, you know, I've been hyping up Chris Jenkins since I was in preschool.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fair. All right. I'll give it to you then. I want to see when we post on the board, I want to see if anyone comments on this because I'm interested to see. I feel like I was, I feel like that was me first, but.
All right.
No. We'll let the people decide. I'm fine with either way. I think to be fair, I think we both have been pretty high on him for sure.
Yeah. Well, and he was a guy we both penciled as like next at some point in the last few months. He was my player with the most to gain this spring, or one of my players with the most to gain this spring. He's a guy I'm very high on. I mean, just his strength to size ratio. I know he's a little undersized for tackle at 275, but you know, he was benching about 200 pounds above his weight in high school. And so it's, yeah, I think he's someone that can really emerge. Has some family lineage, doesn't hurt either. But yeah, him and Mozzie Smith. But then this spring I came away very impressed with how the other defensive tackles looked and in that spring game. You know, Rayshon Benny, not too surprised, 4-star guy entering his second season, that can be an opportunity for him. George Rooks, I like the way he looked. I mean, he's not necessarily going to be a 320 pounder at the nose, but you know, he can play one of those interior defensive end type roles, like a Mike Morris or a Julius Welshoff. Although I guess Morris has moved, both of them might have moved to the edge actually. But you know, kind of one of those Chris Wormley types that can be inside out. And then Mason Graham, who I think everyone is very excited about, you know, based on how he played as a senior, being named LA Times player of the year. But suddenly he's in that spring game. He looks maybe not ready to go full stop, you know, starter level snaps, but he looks pretty college ready for a defensive interior guy. And so I think the biggest sign is that they added a transfer from Central Florida in Cam Good. And I don't know that he's going to be, I don't expect him to start, and I don't know what kind of role he's going to play, because I think that they quietly have assembled a deep and talented defensive tackle or defensive lineman rotation. Not a ton of proof, I'll admit that, but in terms of improving from last season to this season, they were pretty good last season with Hinton and Smith, but I actually think that the arrow is pointing up in a pretty significant way for the Wolverines at the defensive line position.
They're pretty deep. Don't you feel like, I mean, that's what's kind of interesting. It's like they're not going to, it's almost impossible they'll produce the way they did at edge last year statistically, but they're pretty deep at that spot though. There's a lot of guys that have played a lot of snaps.
There's six guys who I think, right? Would not be like floored if they became starters.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I think what we could see, and I don't know if, you know, I got to think Hutchinson Ojabo made life a lot easier for the guys in the interior last year. I think what we might see the opposite this year, where I think Michigan's interior can create enough havoc to give these guys on the edge a little more, many more one-on-one opportunities, you know? And so there's always a yin and a yang there. Where Hutchinson Ojabo were good enough to where I don't think they were able to succeed without maybe a star-studded or elite interior. But I agree, like the hype about Mozzie, I think Mozzie Smith's ready to really take a next step. The other guy too, he's still here. I still feel like they say good things about him pretty consistently, is Julius Welshoff is still on the roster.
And he's got measurable like speed agility times.
Right. There's like
they didn't reflect last season in his on-field performance, but there's an upside there for sure.
There still is, you know, and again, he's a guy who hadn't played like much, if any, football before he came to Ann Arbor, and defensive line's one of those spots that it sometimes takes longer, particularly on the interior, it takes longer for it to click for certain guys. So, you know, not writing him off by any means. And you already mentioned Benny and Rooks. Rooks looked really good in the spring game. So did Benny actually. You know, but even at the edge, TJ Guy, Derek Moore physically as a freshman is a guy that looks like he belongs. You know, like there's just, it'll, that's how they retool up front, or how they find success up front, is going to be really fascinating, because I think it might be an opposite effect of last year, where I think offensive lines or protection is going to have to collapse inside. It's going to give those guys on the edge a lot of chances to at least force the quarterback into making some bad decisions.
I agree. I think that there's a lot of potential at that edge position. I think the two things giving me pause are, one, it's not a ton of proof. I think I would argue Upshaw and Morris are the only two that have really shown it against Big Ten opponents with any sort of regularity. And then this year, I don't know if there's like a all Big Ten type of edge player for the Wolverines, but still, I think the defensive line is in a good position, and you know, they might be able to change some of their schematics a little bit, you know, maybe in a more favorable way to them if they can go with three, you know, big time defensive linemen up front, maybe one edge, and then can get a little bit more creative. So there's a little bit of versatility there. All right, last question. This one comes from the Wolverine Pulse. He says, interested to talk about the high upside fringe starters such as Braden McGregor, Chris Jenkins, Jaden McBurrows at the cornerback position. No, another guy who I think you and I have been conducting that hype train. We put the train on pause because he was injured all spring, but Benny, et cetera. So I'm going to turn that into a little bit of a question. If there's one player, let's do the classic stock game. If there's one player that you are buying low in hopes of selling high in, let's say, 6 months, you know, who would you buy? So it can be a starter. It can be someone who's good that you think is just going to be elite this year. Or it can be a non-starter who you think will be a starter and household name. Or maybe a sleeper that isn't necessarily constantly discussed. We'll start with the offensive side of the ball. If you were given, you know, figurative stock to put in a player between now and let's say October, who are you buying low and thinking that you're going to sell pretty high on?
I'm going to go with Andrell Anthony. He has all that stuff that you can't really teach. And just think about the, you know, he had the big breakout game against Michigan State. Just think of the way he scored both of those touchdowns for a guy of his size. First one catches a slant across the middle and just boat races everybody, like just explodes out of the gates and outruns like four or five defensive backs all the way down the field for a touchdown. And then he kind of did a classic Braylon Edwards, you know, for his second touchdown, leap over the defensive back. That's just a variety. Like, those are things that actually, like, there's some Braylon Edwards in him, I feel like. Just be a matter of, does he not drop the easy passes? You know, Braylon, I think, was a guy that would make some of the most ridiculous catches you've ever seen, was sometimes a little inconsistent on the simple stuff, but it was still, like, maybe obviously one of the two or three best receivers to ever play at Michigan. But I just think they're very similar to me. And, you know, they are super, super deep at receiver, but that doesn't mean that if an elite guy emerges that they're not, you know, not going to feed that guy the ball, right? I mean, I think that's what you're hoping for, you know, where a guy has become so good that you don't have to fret so much about keeping everybody else happy, because it's known that this guy can make some big plays for you. I just think his potential is like through the roof. Cause you know, I always think when we look back at him as a recruit, I think the one question about him was like his ability to separate and his speed. And it was like, I don't know how that was missed in retrospect, because, you know, even the play against Ohio State, he didn't quite make the catch, but I mean, he ran.
If I remember, he just did not have any track times. And I think
that could be.
I think that's what a lot of evaluators use. Like, what's your 100 meter? But yeah, he's got deceptively, or not deceptively, he's just got great speed.
Yeah, and he's got that gait, and he's got that length to just fly by guys. And so I just think there's massive potential there. And still, and again, like you said, like, you know, we're talking about a receiving core that's super, super deep, you know, but I just think he's got a chance to make make some of the plays that nobody else on the roster can make at that position. So I'm going to go with him.
Yeah, I like that pick. If I had not given you the opportunity to go first, I probably would have said him. So, I guess I kind of hinted at Corum potentially being, you're not buying him low, but you can sell him even higher. I think, you know, his yards per carry, his efficiency, his explosiveness. I'm curious to see how Michigan, you know, moves on or operates without Hassan Haskins, but I feel like Corum, 1,000 rushing yards has got to be one of the safest bets you could make on Michigan's team. So he's probably one. If I'm going to pick someone else, because I think we were asked to, I'm going to try to pick one, you know, maybe fringe starter who I think could emerge. I think it's Trent Jones. I think that is a buy low, sell high player on the offensive side of the ball. If there was one, I mean, it's he hasn't started much yet, but that's not has nothing to do with his skill. They just had Ryan Hayes and Andrew Stuber for a couple of years in front of him. And I asked Stuber about Jones in 2020, and Stuber said, now, you know, bear in mind that he's played with some NFL tackles who are starting or playing in the NFL. He said Trent Jones is the most athletic offensive tackle he's ever seen. And every time Jim Harbaugh mentions Jones, Steve, I don't know if you feel the same. I mean, it just feels like there's like that almost like the twinkle in the eye kind of tone. Because yeah, I think this is a guy that has had to wait his turn, but I think he was a top 150 recruit, 4-star guy, you know, has the size, has the weight, has the strength. And according to all who have worked with him or alongside him or coached him, has the athleticism too. So I think he's someone, I don't have a bold prediction about, you know, what all Big Ten team he'll make or NFL draft or anything like that about him, but I think he's going to be able to fit right in on Michigan's offensive line and I'm confident enough that he's going to win the job that I'm buying the figurative stock on him. Defensive side of the ball seems like, I mean, with 7 departing starters, seems like you go in a bunch of different directions here. So I'm genuinely curious who you're buying low, selling high on the defensive side of the ball. Who do you got? Who's your pick?
Yeah, this was a tough one. Part of me wants to say Mozzie, but we've already kind of talked about him a lot. So just to talk about somebody else, I know he was injured this spring, but I'm still buying in on what Rod Moore could potentially provide for Michigan at safety. You know, I don't think you can measure the value of a kid who comes in right away as a true freshman. And really, to be fair, not a heralded true freshman by any means, to come in and look like he belonged as quickly as he did. You know, I mean, to a couple growth spurts, I think Washington, I think he gave up the touchdown pass, but was right there. Like, just a kid that walks in right away and it just looks like he belongs, played really well against Ohio State. I think, let's say, provided health, I mean, I don't anticipate any hiccups or anything. I think he'll be ready to go for fall practice and stuff. But, you know, yeah, Michigan is obviously going to miss Daxon Hill and Brad Hawkins. But I really think Moore is another guy that could give Michigan some really good football this year. And is a guy that has, maybe because he wasn't around for the spring, has still kind of been slept on. It's almost like the spot where people just, you know, Brad Hawkins was always slept on like every year. It's like, maybe that's just the spot where people just sleep on the guy. So, you know, I'm going to say Rod Moore. You're right though. There's a lot of different directions you could go defensively, which says a lot about how Michigan's recruited and how they've developed on that side of the football the last 5-6 seasons.
Yeah. I think Moore is a great pick. I mean, he was very good last season, but I think, you know, because he didn't have the, I mean, think about how many top tier targets or very hyped safeties he beat out. And basically, I mean, it wasn't even a question by week 8 of his true freshman season. He was their starting safety moving forward. So I like that pick. I probably made a pretty good pitch for Chris Jenkins, but I'm going to stay in the defensive backfield. And I, well, and there's two that I'm thinking about. You know, McBurrow's, I think I'd like to wait and hear, you know, post-injury where he stacks up in that room before I buy necessarily, but he would be a good value. You know, I think there's a very good chance that he's a solid corner this season. There was a lot of excitement about him, similar excitement from a true freshman who didn't play a ton, in my opinion, to what there was about DJ Turner when he was a true freshman. It got similar, very similar tones about like, oh yeah, this guy, he's ahead of the curve. He's definitely a hit. But corner is not always a position. You know, Will Johnson might be the exception, but corner is not always a position where even if they really like a true freshman, they're not necessarily throwing him in the fire in the middle of Big Ten season. So I'm going to go with the guy I think some people are a little down on based on how last season went. But RJ Moten, I think, is going to be my buy low, sell high guy. I think his athletic potential, his range, you know, how he can move. I think he's still putting together, you know, the pass coverage, just like Rod Moore. I think there were you know, growing pains last season. But I think with maybe, you know, just a little bit more time and ability to develop some comfort, you know, getting that spring ball where he was really able to apply everything he learned last season, I think he's someone that's going to be really productive for the Wolverines this season. And I really like his ceiling. I think what's the phrase that was used from about him as a recruit, you know, the center fielder athleticism just feels like he's able to use his feet really effectively at that safety position. But it's just a position where sometimes if you're a redshirt freshman kind of being thrown into the fire, it's not always going to come super easily. There's so much you have to understand. So I think this is a year where he takes a step forward real quick. It doesn't have to be a long explanation because we've talked about them, but among the returning quote unquote stars of Michigan's defense, Mazi Smith, Junior Colson, DJ Turner, who would you buy stock for right now in terms of ascending even higher than they already are?
I'll say Colson. If you're Michigan, it has to be Junior Colson, I think.
Yeah, it does. Right?
Because I think we said this in coming out of the last season, but it's something that hasn't changed in my mind is you could argue he's the most important player on Michigan's roster this year, just because I don't know where they go at backer if something was to happen to him.
They go south.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on him, not just to stay healthy, but to kind of take that next step. But again, inconsistent, true freshman, but still, you know, garnered pretty much all the true freshman All-American accolades. And as a guy, obviously looked like he belonged out there, you know, tantalizing potential at the position for sure. And it has a super high ceiling. So I'll say Colson because I really actually do. It's either him, like Turner kind of got there or became close to getting there all the way there last year, in my opinion. I think he's more of there's probably still some room for growth for sure, but like, I just think he's already close to being really reliable and just a top level type player. I think Colson has another step or another gear that he can get to at that spot. So I'm going to go with him.
Maybe I'm not trying to be a hater, but I'm some of the development that there were some legitimate areas where he could improve. I thought he had a great freshman year. He was a freshman All-American, but I some of that I want to see before I necessarily forecast it. I know, I will say, players and coaches consistently view him as he's going to leave Michigan as its best linebacker since Devin Bush. I mean, that is the consistent tone from players and coaches that he is the next great Michigan linebacker. So if you believe in that confidence, that's a good pick. And you're right that the stock price is probably lower for him than like a Mazi Smith. I'm going to go with Turner though. I think he's the most underrated player on the team. I think some people acknowledge, you know, what he accomplished last season, but Steve, this is maybe a hot take. I don't think Michigan beats Penn State or Ohio State last season without DJ Turner. That is my personal opinion, and I don't think as such. I don't think he that's always said, and so I think he's the most underrated player on the team, and I'm gonna buy stock on him. Among those three, that's the guy who I think will elevate the most from, you know, what he is now to being household name, star of the team, face of the team, type of player. So was not perfect last season, but boy, he was very good. And even that Maryland game, I thought he had a great game against a good passing offense. So, you know, I think he really, really helped Michigan out. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much to the listeners who submitted questions. I think our hope is to get back to the consistent football podcast grind. Be sure to check out all of our stories, including some football preview content coming the next couple of days over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. There's also recruiting starting to pick up, you know, and then obviously basketball just had a couple of players drafted. There's some roster changes. So there'll be stories about all three topics and plenty more over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. For Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. Thanks so much for listening. This was the Wolverine 24/7 podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.